All right, let's take our textbook, which is your Bible, and let's turn to the scripture for today's lesson as we continue our study in Bible doctrine. And today we're going to look at the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, which is clearly taught in the Word of God. John chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. And I'm going to read those verses because I believe it is expedient to do so to really grasp what's being said. But find your place there in John 16, and we'll read these verses, or you follow along as I read these to you. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 1, 16:1, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And this is Christ talking to primarily the disciples. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, Jesus, back to the Father. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. That's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Those are three things that the Holy Spirit does. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So everything the Father knows and everything Jesus knows, and that's going to be shown unto him. A little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So here is the promise. Jesus said, I'm going away, and then I'm going to send someone in my place, and that person is the Holy Spirit. Scripture teaches the doctrine of the Trinity. Many times believers don't quite understand that. It's a little confusing to them, but it shouldn't be. I was going to bring a boiled egg and show you the Trinity this morning, but we ran out of eggs yesterday, so I didn't have one to boil, and I didn't want to take a chance of breaking one up here at the pulpit. Pastor might not like that when he was preaching later. But an egg is a Trinity. You got the yellow, the white, and the shell. And a tree is like a Trinity. You know, you got the trunk and the limbs and the leaves and so on and so forth. There are many, many practical illustrations of that. But when it comes to that spiritual belief in those things, it can be a little harder for somebody to understand. But even if we don't fully understand the Trinity, he's given us enough to understand that that's all we need in this life, and we'll get the rest of it in the life to come. But we do believe it. The word Trinity means three, simply three, tricycle, Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is talking about the Godhead, the one Godhead, and three different persons in that one Godhead. Three in one, like the egg. Three in one. So you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one God manifest in three persons. So let's look at these persons, be reminded, maybe learn a little bit that is new, about the Trinity. First of all, God the Father. In your outline, your blank there, I think that's blank at the beginning. God the Father. We'll look at Him. God's name. The name that is used the most is the name Jehovah. And we're not familiar with that so much in the English language, but it is a good word, and it literally means salvation. God, Jehovah, salvation. So above all else, what is God? He is the God of our salvation. We needed saving, right? We're sinners lost on our way to hell. But Jesus is God, the God of our salvation. Psalm 68:20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. There it is, clearly in the Bible. And unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. And the word that is used is really the Hebrew word, Yehovah, and Jehovah, we say, and that is God. He is the God of our salvation. He is our salvation. So the name Jehovah to Israel, what the name of Jesus is to us, Savior, and that's what it meant back to them. And they use Jehovah the most. And then God's nature. It's a little hard to explain or define the true nature of God. It's hard to comprehend that with our feeble minds that have been tainted by the fall. But the following will help us understand something about God's nature, His divine nature. Number one, when we think about God, God is infinite. God is infinite. Psalm 90, verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. You've heard somebody quote that many times in this pulpit, Dr. Barber. Verse 2, he'd quote that with it. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. We cannot comprehend infinity. It's, you know, when did God start? Well, God never started. God always has been. Infinitely so. He always will be the infinite God. And we can't hardly get a hold of that. We're so time consumed and limited to 70 and so on and so forth. But God is not that way. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even Thou formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. God exists. God always has. He is infinite. And then God is self-existent. John 5:26. For as the Father hath life in Himself. Get those three words. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. You see, God is self-existent. We can't totally comprehend that. You know, when did God start? God never started. And I mentioned that a little earlier, but it's just, how do we comprehend? But there is a God. And God always has been there. And God does exist. He is self-existent. And then God is unchangeable. Unchangeable, or the word we use sometimes is immutable. God is immutable, unchangeable. He said in Malachi 3:6, and there are a lot of verses, I'm giving you only a few. For I am the Lord. I change not. God does not change. The culture does not affect Him. The culture needs to listen to Him. But God is unchangeable, immutable. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And so, that is that is an adjective that describes him. He never changes. It is fixed. It is permanent. And with God, there are no variations. God is God. God is the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. So that's God. God is unchangeable. So don't be trying to change his mind. A lot of these secular humanists and liberal Christians are trying to rewrite what God meant in the Bible, and they do a lot of damage in doing that. God meant what he said, and God is always right, and God is unchangeable. God is also omniscient. That's one that ought to sober our thinking. God is omniscient. He has all knowledge, all knowledge. The word omniscient, it comes from a Latin word, omni, which means all or omnis, and then sentia, which means knowledge. Omnis, O-M-N-I-S, we would spell it all, and then sentia, S-C-I-N-T-A, knowledge. All knowledge. God has all knowledge. All the depth of the riches, Romans 11:33, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him? No, God knows it all. We don't know it all. He is omniscient. He has all knowledge. By the way, he knows what we're thinking right now. He knows what we've been doing. He knows when we're doing it, where we are. God has all knowledge. You say, how does he do that? He's God. He has all knowledge. And that's the kind of God that is the one and only true and living God that we have. In Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So be it. It's God. God is that way. And then he is omnipotent. We get that word omni again, meaning all. And we have an omnidirectional microphone. That means it picks up all things around it. Omni is what he's saying. Omnipotent, all-powerful God. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men this is impossible. But with God, Jesus said, all things are possible. Now, some brainy person says, well, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift? Well, dummy, why would God want to do that? He wouldn't want to do that. I mean, that's insanity, and that's foolish talk. But God has all power, and God can do anything God wants to do. And so we are to be encouraged by that. What are you facing today? What's going on in your life? What's there? God has all power, and God can take care of that. And God is taking care of the world situation. Don't panic because of what we see going on. The Bible is very clear. He raises up kings and he puts them down. And the powers that be are ordained by who? The Republicans and Democrats? No, by God. And so God's doing what God is doing, but he has all power. And he can move on nations, he can move on Iran, Iraq, Russia, China, the United States, anybody he wants to. God has all power, and these things are not accidental. And then God is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. God is right around you, right now. He's here. You say, I don't see him. No. God is a spirit, right? And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. They go together. God is a spirit. God is here in his omnipresence. Psalm 139:7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Hades or hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is everywhere present. You need his right hand, just reach out and get it. He's there, though it's not a physical presence. The thing that we will see that will represent that, that will be God, will be Jesus Christ someday. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his marvelous glorified body. And hey, I'm going to have one like that too. So my sight will be perfect. And I'll see that beautiful body, glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is also holy. We don't like to think of that in our culture today. We like to make excuses and allowances. But listen, God is holy. Holy is holy. What is holiness? The Greek word is hagios, and that means he is morally blameless and perfect. God is blameless and perfect. He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He is perfect. The Trinity is perfect. And so that means that God cannot do anything wrong. God cannot sin. God is perfect. That's our God. He is morally blameless, holy. And by the way, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. And he's not just kidding about that. He means we ought to try to live like he is, though sometimes we fail, and thank God we have the privilege of confessing and getting it right. But God's desire for you is for you to be holy. And that involves our thought life. That involves the way we react. That involves all of our life, every aspect of our life. Be ye holy. And then God is just. I'm glad he's a just God. He is a merciful God, but he's just. And so people think they're getting away with all these things. They're not. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. You can count on God being fair and just with all people. God has no pets. The United States is not his pet country. God is just. God is right. And we could develop a whole message on that. And then God is love. Boy, I'm glad that's in there. God is perfect love. I'm glad he's not a mean, dictatorial, unfair person that is cruel. No, God is a God of love. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. Did you hear that? Look around you. I mean, we got to love one another. We're supposed to. And beloved, let us love one another. Why? For God. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You're saved. It's a sign you're saved if you love others. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. That's love. God loved us so much that he sent his only Son, his only begotten Son. And that word there is agape. It's not the other words that would imply other things, but agape. Even though some people are not lovely, we're to love them. Doesn't mean we have to agree with what they do, what they say, their philosophy, but we have to love them. And that is a challenge sometimes, especially in our culture and our political world today. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, not that we were the ones that initiated it, but that he loved us. That's the gospel. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He propitiated God. He satisfied God. And that is love. God sent his Son. Secondly, second main division, let's talk about God the Son. That's God the Father. Now, God the Son. Who is God the Son? It's Jesus Christ. God the Son is Jesus Christ. And he is the second person of the Godhead. That does not mean inferiority as you go down the Trinity. They're co-equal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this is the way they're presented in the Word of God. So God's Son is Jesus Christ, the second person of what we call the Trinity. Now, let's look at about Jesus and how God presents him in the Word of God. Number one, he is a seed of the woman. You go back to the proto-evangelical or the original message of the gospel is Genesis 3:15. That's where it's first shown to us, to the world. And here's what it says, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity, problems, difficulty and all, between thee, that's the serpent, God is speaking, and the woman, and between thy seed. Did you know the devil has a seed? That's what it says right here. Between thy seed and her seed, there will be animosity, there will be enmity. It shall bruise thy head, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's a perfect picture of Christ. He crushes the head of the devil, the serpent, and he bruises the Lord in the process of it. But the job is done. So, who would make up the seed of the devil? Who would he be referring to? Those who reject Jesus, those who follow the devil's spirit, those who obey the devil, they are presented as the seed of the devil. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest, watch, and the children of the devil. So he has children, children of the devil, his seed. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Those who don't get saved and live for God, they are the devil's seed. And we have a lot of that in any culture around in the world today. So, he is the seed of woman. Then he is the only begotten of the Father. John 3:16, we know that. And so, he tells us that he gave his only begotten Son. In other words, his one and only Son. God the Father, somehow in the eons of time, the existence, co-equal with him, was the Son. Jesus didn't start in the Virgin Mary's womb. Jesus did not start in his 33 years plus life ministry. Jesus always has been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The eternal Logos, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is the only begotten of the Father, well-beloved, the perfect image of Almighty God, his very Son, his only Son. And then Jesus is called God. There are a lot of people who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is called God. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son, who's that, Jesus, he saith, thy throne, O God. He's talking to Jesus. Thy throne, O God, forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The Father calls him God. He is God. He is called the Son of God. Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Worship is ascribed to him. He is to be worshipped. Hebrews 1:6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. He's to be worshipped by all, really, and the angels of God to worship him. He is the Son of God, worship ascribed to him. He is a creator. The Lord Jesus was involved in creating. John 1:3, all things were made by him. And without him was nothing made, anything made that was made. God, Jesus, who is God, was involved in creation because he is God. He's been always been around. And then he is also judge. He is the judge. And these are the offices in all of Jesus. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Well, that tells us there will be judgment too, right? There is going to be judgment. And primarily all judgment is going to be given to the Son. I think the Holy Spirit and the Father will be involved in that. But primarily he says that's it. And then he is one with God. Again, we get to the deity. John 10:30. He clearly said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father one. Now, as I said, there are those who do not believe that. For instance, the Mormons do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe he is a God. Look at their New World Translation, 1 John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. And that's not right. There's a difference in being a God, little g, and God. The Word was God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've told you the story before when I was flying on a plane and a high person, woman, in the Mormon faith, I asked her, who do you think God is or Jesus is? Tell me, what do you believe he's God? She said, oh, no. We don't believe Jesus is God. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe what God said about his Son. And you're might as well be a pagan as to do that. You say, well, they're good people morally. That doesn't change the truth about the Word of God and the true doctrine of the Word of God. You may have a mother or father or a first cousin that's real nice people. They don't drink Coke and they have good, strong families. 90% of the people at Branson and those programs, they'll talk about Jesus. 90% of them are Mormons up there and all of that. But people don't understand what that means and what they're saying by what they're saying. And there are others besides that that do not admit that Jesus is God. So I said, well, who do you think he is? And she said, I think he was a great prophet like all the other prophets. No, he is more than a prophet. And thank God he was. He is a Savior. Then he possesses all power. Matthew 28:18. He is all powerful. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So that's why we're to go witness. He gives us the power, and therefore through him we go out and witness. Then he is the only Savior. Only Savior. We get criticized today, people, other religions, and they say, you're just too non-inclusive. You're just too narrow-minded. It's not fair. You're just self-centered. And you're wrong about all of that. And that's not fair. All these other religions. Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. How many of you believe that? Say amen. That's what the Bible says. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. Allah, anybody else, Buddha, big fat belly Buddha, none of the rest. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the life, the truth. No man cometh unto the Father. How? But by me. There's one door, one way. It is not all inclusive. It is exclusively through Christ. And don't let these people emotionally brainwash you to try to make you feel like you're just unfair because you say there's only one way to heaven, and that's the Christian way, that's through Christ, because that's what the Bible says. Now, if you don't believe that, throw your Bible away. But the Bible is the, in fact, plenary word for word of God. Then, also, it's important to see that his name means Lord, Jesus Christ, Jesus in Christ. 1, 2, 3. I think you have blanks there. Lord speaks of the authority and power. Jesus is talking about that he is the Savior. And Christ means he is the anointed one. The anointed one. Lord Jesus Christ. Then very quickly, God the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity. And I'm telling you what I'll do. I'm going to stop right there, because there's no way I can cover it. And that's one of the main parts that I wanted to cover in this lesson. And so I talked about as fast as a Southerner can talk and did what I could. But anyway, we're at that point. And so we'll finish this out next week, and then we'll get into some of the other doctrinal studies. All right? Father, we thank you for the blessed, holy, perfect, inerrant Word of God that you have preserved to us through this age and for many, many years, scores and scores of years, we've had this beautiful King James Bible that is perfect, always has been, and is today. And may you help us to believe it, to practice it, and help us to be aware of who God is and of who Jesus is, and then to be reminded of our dependence upon the great Comforter, the one who's come in the place of Christ from now until the rapture, the Holy Spirit. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.